everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak. We are vastly a word? Not the correct word. We are quickly approaching Halloween. Happy Halloween. Ooh. That's not totally owned by somebody, right? Are you still allowed to say Happy Halloween? Is there some group out there that's going to be like, actually, it's the St. Hallows Eve of the... Shut up. Anyway, this is Stuff I Heard. How's everybody doing? If you're like me, you're kind of getting into the spirit, enjoying the pumpkin spiced cheesecake and coffee and all the other pumpkin spice things that are out there, because nowadays that's the go-to flavoring for everything, pumpkin spice. Oh, yeah. So yesterday I got off work a little bit early and went to do some shopping. And as I got to Sam's, they had pumpkin spice samples. Hey, sir, would you like to try our pumpkin spiced cream cheese with crackers? Okay, I guess I'll try one. Oh, that's pretty good. Actually, yes, that's not too bad. Would you like to buy some? No, I don't see myself eating that much of that. That's a lot. No, but thank you. Hey, sir, would you like to try some pumpkin spice coffee? We have small samples. I'm like, I mean, I kind of could use some coffee. Sure, why not some pumpkin spice coffee? So I had a little bit of pumpkin spice coffee. Just a wee bit of it in a little cup. Just a tiny bit. I was like, okay, that's kind of nice. Now I'm starting to think to myself, all right, there's a theme today, and I'm going to get pumpkin spice to death. So you go in the corner, and there's a lady. She's got cheesecake. And I was like, oh, cheesecake. I like cheesecake. So I go over to the cheesecake thing. Hey, sir, we have pumpkin spice cheesecake. I was like, Jesus, come on. Why why has everything got to be pumpkin spice? And so I try it, and it's, of course, it's good. But again, like, it's okay in a small amount, but to eat a whole... I mean, not that anybody's... Well, I guess some people could eat a whole cheesecake. I guess if pressured, I could eat a whole cheesecake. But would I want one completely pumpkin spice? Probably not. Do I want to have more than a coffee with pumpkin spice? Probably not. Would I like to have maybe, I don't know, a gallon of pumpkin spice cream cheese filling for my crackers? Probably not. Is it fun once in a while? Sure. If I'm hosting a party, would those things be okay? Yeah, probably, but not all at the same time. And it was all at the same time. So thank you to Sam's for once again proving to me that while, yes, I like pumpkin spice things, I don't like them in large quantities. So there is that. Okay, moving along. Let's talk about Stuff I Heard. So at work, we were talking about things that movies that come out this time of year, scary movies. Hey, what scary movie are you watching? And I'm not a scary movie person. I don't like scary movies. I don't know why, but that part of my brain just does not find that enjoyable to be afraid. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just don't. Now, through the years, when I was younger, we would purposely go watch scary movies and be like, oh my God, you know, get scared. And then we'd talk about the scary movies. And it was okay when it was campy scary. Like, and when it was like, I don't know, Friday the 13th or Freddy Krueger, you kind of knew the plot, how things are going to move along. And it was like, you could kind of make fun of the thing for being scary. So it wasn't like truly scary. And then somewhere along the way, technology caught up to where they made things truly scary. I mean, for me, like watching Friday the 13th or a Nightmare on Elm Street type movie, it was predictable in a fun way. Like, you were like, I know I'm going to be scared, but it's going to be kind of silly because, you know, girls fall down. Oh, they always fall down whenever they're running away. Oh no, I tripped over my high heels. Why are you running in the countryside with high heels? Whatever. It was predictable enough to be kind of funny and still kind of scary, like a little bit. But then things took a really hard turn and just went, let's just make it super scary and super gross and super. And okay, I get it. You know, the way technology goes nowadays, you can make anything. And I'm sure there was people that were watching those films, young kids, thinking, well, I can make something way scarier. Like, aren't you afraid of this or aren't you afraid of that? And then somewhere along the way, the Blair Witch Project came out, and that was the single cam supposed found footage of campers who got taken by these things in the woods. And they got the little selfie cam and they're holding it, going, I'm so scared right now. Ah, you know, and then disappear. And that was really smart the way they did it, because they then get the audience to think, oh, wow, this could have really happened, or this may have really happened. They may even put up little taglines in the beginning that says, based upon some true events. Okay, that how loosely based can you make it? I mean, because you could just say some campers went in the woods and then they weren't found. And you go, well, it's kind of loosely based on that. Because you can make it as loosely based as possible, right? So with that, I mean, you get other movies like Saw, where they put you into a scenario of you got to choose the worst possible scenario or this other worst possible scenario to get out of this thing that's going to be even worse. It's like you're given three choices of awful things and you have to do one of the awful things. And yeah, that's a neat little spin on things. But along the way, they started coming out with these creepy, scary movies where these girls were like walking backwards or moving really fast at you, you know, like the Ring is a good example. I'm sitting here looking at a ring light in front of me around my camera, and I'm like, oh God, that's kind of interesting the way that went full circle. But The Ring was a show where if you were turning on your TV and it got all staticky and you get a phone call and you pick up the phone, you're like, hello, and they're like, in 3 days or something like that. I forget the exact parameter, but they would basically say in 3 days they would come after you and they would kill you. Or you get sucked into the thing and you'd suddenly be in the ring itself. I should have turned my ringer off. So, anywho, so The Ring, okay? I'm watching that with my brother one day, and then we watched some other scary movie, and the same plot line was similar. The creepy little girl that's coming backwards at you, there's just like, suddenly you're like, oh, look, it's a girl. Ah, you know, really scary. And I've sort of said over the years that the faster things move, the more frightening they are. The slower things move, the more funny they are. Like zombie movies. The slow zombies, all of those movies where there's a slow zombie is hilarious. When they're really fast, that's when it's super scary. So take all of that and put it all together, shake it up in a blender, and then you get this masterpiece, I'll call it, Megan, spelled M3GAN, Megan. Here's the premise for Megan. I watched Megan this week because it is available on Amazon Prime. And I remember when it came out to the theater, I thought, I really want to see this. This looks really cool. Megan is a marvel of artificial intelligence, a lifelike doll that's programmable, that's programmed to be a child's greatest companion and parent's greatest ally. Designed by Gemma, a brilliant roboticist, Megan can listen, watch, and learn as it plays the role of a friend, a teacher, a playmate, a protector. When Gemma becomes the unexpected caretaker of her 8-year-old niece, she decides to give the girl a Megan prototype. What's wrong with prototypes? I don't know. Maybe I didn't think about everything. A decision that will lead to unimaginable consequences. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so this release date was January of this year. It doesn't say how much it cost to make, but it said box office, it took in $181 million, which is a pretty good haul, if you ask me. Now, the actress who plays the Megan doll did a really great job of being robotic enough to be perceived as a robot, but also human enough to be like, oh my gosh, they made that robot look real. I mean, whoever plays Megan, the actress that plays Megan, I don't know who played her. Amy Donald, A-M-I-E-D-O-N-A-L-D, Amy Donald. She needs to get like a special award for playing this character because she did a great job of playing this character. And it was super terrifying. It was super terrifying, but also with an interesting little twist. I was going to work and talking to a guy at work about it. And I was like, you know, here's the thing is I'm watching the movie and they do a thing in the movie where they suddenly give you the Jurassic Park element. And then he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know how in Jurassic Park, whenever the park starts to fall apart and you see that one guy who like takes all the files and squanders them away for himself, that means there's going to be a sequel. I said, this guy, I'm just looking him up online. His name is Kurt. He's sort of like one of the lady who created the stuff, Gemma's allies or companions or partners or whatever in making Megan. He's not the brains behind the operation, but he sees his opportunity and he tries to steal information from the company. You see him squirrel it away into a file, and I guarantee you we're going to have a Megan too. So thanks for that little Jurassic Park moment, Kurt. I blame Kurt. Kurt's totally to blame. There are some characters in this that I recognized right away. First of all, being what we perceive as the bad guy, basically, it's Gemma's boss. He's not a bad guy. He just plays a jerk. He does a really good job. It's a comedian, Rodney Chang, C-H-I-E-N-G, and I'm probably mispronouncing that. Sorry, Ronnie. Ronnie's got a great stand-up special on Netflix right now. Go check it out. It came out last year. It's really funny. I love it when comedians play like characters, or especially bad guys, because they can be fully animated and fully themselves, and it's really believable. But yeah, great role for everybody. Gemma's played by Allison Williams. I've seen her in other stuff, but I don't exactly know what. I'm clicking on her now. She's been in a few scary movie hits. She was in Get Out, which I haven't seen, but I've heard was good. She's been in Girls, Perfection, Horizon Line, Peter Pan Live, Series of Unfortunate Events. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So yeah, I've probably seen her in other stuff. She has one of those faces where I go, I've seen you in a lot, and I don't know what. But anyway, I'll research her another day. Allison Williams, she does a good job as playing Jenna. And then there's another Megan listed as Jenna Davis. Why are there two Megans listed? Was one the actress Jenna Davis? They're both listed as Megan. Why? Amy Donald is in makeup on this thing as Megan. How is Jenna Davis? Maybe Jenna Davis is the voice. Maybe that's what it is. It's got to be. But anyway, I like it. I thought it was really great. Go check it out. You're going to love it. The little girl that plays the main character that's supposed to be the reason that the doll was made to be a companion is Violet McGraw. She's okay. She's okay. Not bad. But yeah. I think Ronnie Chang excels at this. So does Annie Donald. So, again, check out Megan. You'll like it. All right, moving on. Again, because I'm a big comedian fan, I'm also a big fan of Bill Burr. Bill Burr has a new show, a new movie that's on Netflix now. It's called Old Dads, and it's exactly what it sounds like, because Bill Burr, admittedly, is an old dad. He's in his 50s, and he has two young kids. He kind of waited late in life to have kids. And he also lives in California, which is kind of funny because Bill has historically had a temper. let's just say what it is. It's a temper, okay? He famously made it big as a comedian being in Philly one day when the Philly crowd was turning on the group that he was with. He was with a comedy troupe that had gone there to perform. When I say troupe, I mean it was like, I don't know, a bunch of comedians there for an outdoor event. And Philly was being Philly. And Bill went off on the crowd. You can YouTube it. Just type in Bill Burr goes off on crowd in Philly. And you'll see him lose his mind at this crowd. And it's hilarious. And somewhere along there is when Bill Burr stepped away from being just an unknown comedian to being who he is now. He has a hot temper. He's very, very well versed. He is a entrepreneur when it comes to podcasting, directing, producing, acting. I'll never forget his role in Star Wars, in The Mandalorian or Boba Fett, both, as Migs, what's his name in the show? Right now, Star Wars fans are like, it's Migs Mani or something like that. It's Migs something. Anyway, great person, period. Okay. His stand-up specials are phenomenal. This is a great movie. Him and two other dads, they're all around the same age. They have young kids, and they're trying to navigate how to be fathers as they age. And it's not pretty, because in the beginning, everything is like they're barely hanging on. Then things go off the rails, and they eventually come full circle towards the end. But I like this. I like this movie. This is a good movie. It's not a family-friendly movie. It got a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. IMDb's got it at a 6.3 out of 10. Here's the premise of the movie. When middle-aged father and his two best friends sell their company to a millennial, they soon find themselves out of step and behind the times as they struggle to relate to a changing world of culture, career, and fatherhood. This just came out October 20th of this year, and All Things Comedy is listed as production companies with Miramax. So All Things Comedy is a production company started by Bill Burr and now Madrigal. And I think Al Madrigal is actually in this. There's a lot of actors and actresses in this that you'll recognize. Bruce Dern, Bokeem Woodbine, Bobby Cannavale. Cannavale. I always mispronounce that name. Does it list him? I'm looking through the list here. Roy Scovel is in it. Rick Glassman. Annie Asselton. I feel like I've seen her in stand-up. Oh, Natasha Leggero's in this. Yeah, she's a stand-up comedian. I think Jackie Tawn is too. Yeah. So anyway, go check it out. It's fun. It's funny. I had a good time. I laughed out loud watching this. This is pretty good. So anyway, old dads. Love it. They say a lot of inappropriate stuff, and it gets them in trouble, and they're sort of learning to navigate the world moving forward in California as parents, older parents. Anyway, so the next movie I watched was No Hard Feelings. This has been done many times before, but this time it's in a different way. This is Jennifer Lawrence as the main character, basically, with Andy Barth Feldman playing Percy. Matthew Broderick is playing a dad in this. Yeah. So the preview show, the premise of the show, which is this. On the brink of losing their childhood home, her childhood home, a desperate woman agrees to date a wealthy couple's introverted and awkward 19-year-old son. However, he proves to be more of a challenge than she expected, and time is running out before she loses it all. So the idea is basically, what was the other movie with Matthew McConaughey? Failure to Launch. It's a failure to launch situation, sort of. In this case, Matthew Broderick and his wife, in the thing, they have a son who's 19 who is getting ready to go to Princeton, but he's so introverted. Excuse me. Gotta drink some water. I'm thirst dry. He's so introverted because his parents are helicopter parents and they're extremely wealthy. So they've paid for every convenience in his life to be really smooth. Well, now he's getting ready to go off to college, and the kid is very smart, but he hasn't been met with any hardships yet, and he hasn't really done anything outside of their bubble, and they're worried that they've isolated him too much. So their idea is to hire this woman, Jennifer Lawrence, to basically date him. Date, quote unquote, date him, to help him grow up. And what nobody expects is that they actually become friends. So there's that. I liked her character in this. I liked the actors who played these parts. This Andrew Barth Feldman, there's a moment where he plays the piano and sings, and it's pretty amazing. There's a guy named Gary that's in this. He's in the show The Bear. He plays cousin. This is Ebon Moss Backrack. I really like him. I thought he was great. Natalie Morales is in this. I've seen her in a ton of things. As soon as you see her, you're like, oh, I know her. Hasan Minhaj, stand-up comedians. Hasan Minhaj is in this. He plays a real estate broker. He is funny. He's only on screen for a little bit, but I like his character. So yeah, fun stuff. Check it out. No Hard Feelings. It is rated R, so just let you know. Okay, and a stand-up comedy special because I'm a fan of stand-up comedy, and I'm also a fan of this guy, Pete Holmes. Pete Holmes has a new Netflix special. It's called I Am Not For Everyone, which I would argue is not correct. I think he is for everyone. I really like this comedy special. He's done a lot of them, but he's more seasoned now. He's more comfortable with who he is, so there's no awkwardness. Matter of fact, the one awkward moment he has where he misspeaks, he does this neat little trick on stage where he flips his microphone and gets the crowd just like, whoa, he's like, whoa, what just happened? And he has a hit podcast on all of the platforms. It's called You Made It Weird. I've been listening to Pete Holmes for years. He's very thoughtful. He's very mindful about what he says, but he likes to play with the idea of words. He likes to play with the idea that maybe we're all wrong and maybe none of this makes sense and maybe all of it makes sense. He's very Ram Dass, spiritual minded. He talks about being religious on stage and how a lot of his friends aren't. And he said they kind of want to, you know, give him a hard time. And he sort of finds a way to argue against their point. So I liked it. I'm a big fan of Pete Holmes. I will forever be a fan of Pete Holmes. I've been listening to him for a very long time, over 10 years now, podcasting. Huge fan. So check it out. And if you're watching, okay, so let's switch gears a little bit. If you're watching Loki season 2, somebody let me know because I want to talk about it really bad. We just had a huge, oh my God, moment at the end of this episode. There's only 6 episodes, okay? This week's episode was episode 4. So there's 2 more left. But at the end of this episode is a jaw-dropping moment where basically everything ends. So now I'm left with a question mark. What's going to happen next? Because I don't know. Like, there's nothing. All their plans, everything they were going to do. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say spoiler alert. All of their plans, everything they were trying to do, everything they were aiming to do, all of it failed. This was a shocking episode because there were a couple things that happened in this episode that made me really laugh out loud because it was funny as all get out. It caught me off guard. I just want to talk to somebody else who's watching it. Somebody who's into it as much as I am. Much like Star Wars, much like, you know, a lot of these things. This is incredible. I could almost see the boardroom of writers sitting around going, yeah, what if it doesn't work? We haven't done that. We've done a lot of what ifs where our guys pull off these miracle things of things that happen. What if we did something where nothing worked? What if none of it worked? I could just hear that being said out loud. What was that, Steve? Well, yeah, what if nothing worked? Like, how would we move forward? What if all of this is for nothing and we end it? It's kind of an interesting idea, right? For a show. Because what do you write after that? You could write anything. But to end it is a bold choice. And they made it end. But there's 2 more episodes. So what's going to happen? I don't know. I'm excited. This is pretty interesting. They ended it really well. Whoever wrote this season, you deserve all of the accolades. This is the greatest season. I've enjoyed Loki season 2 tremendously. You guys are killing it. It is awesome. Tom Hiddleston, the whole cast, Jonathan Majors, Owen Wilson, Kei-Hei Kwan, Obi's killing it. Even Tara Strong as the voice of Miss Minutes, killing it. Renslayer, killing it. Everybody's killing it. Ravona Renslayer. Yeah. So anyway, that's it. I'm going to wrap this up. I can hear things in the house moving. It's time to get this Saturday kicked off. Got to go on TV and watch my Gamecocks struggle against Texas A&M. So go Gamecocks. Anyway. all right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. Oh, if you happen to be in the Florence area and you want to try somewhere that's not too expensive to eat, but also want to, you know, maybe try something that it's a hot dog. Okay, a hot dog. It's called, what's it called? I saved the picture. Let me look it up. I had it on the tip of my tongue and I've gone blank. Dashing Dogs. DASH _N Dogs. They're on 200 East Darlington Street here in Florence. Their phone number is 843-799-2366. They have an incredible hot dog. I know this sounds crazy, like a hot dog. Everybody makes hot dogs. These dogs are really, 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 really good. We went there last night for dinner. I had a 2 hot dog combo with fries and a drink. And my wife had a hot dog combo with fries and a drink. And our bill was like $23. That's not bad. That's a good price for a good meal. And it was really good. I mean, first bite of the hot dog, we were like, good. It was really good. We also noticed on the menu, they had hand-padded patty hamburgers. They got chicken wings. They got chicken salad. They got regular salad. They got all kinds of stuff. The food was great. The people were super friendly. They're easy to get in and out of. They're right near McLeod Hospital, right over the bridge. Fantastic. We will be going back there. I guarantee it. I've put a picture of their stuff on my Facebook and Instagram, and I'll share it on this thing as well somehow. I'll figure out how to do that. But anyway, that's it. I just want to talk about them because word of mouth, right? I want good people to succeed and community to grow, and they're part of my community. So thank you, everybody who listens. Thank you for being a part of this. I appreciate it. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, share this with your friends. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Move, baby.